Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danielle McCartan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
WFAN.
Welcome to Beatboxing, where beat reporters from each team square off inside your listening device. Let's meet this week's contenders. Representing the underdog New York Islanders is Arthur Staple from The Athletic NYC. And for the defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning, we've got from LightningInsider.com, Eric Erlandson. Let's have a good, clean fight. We are going to start off round one, my favorite round, the emoji round, with you, Arthur Staple. Can you please choose and explain one emoji, not a GIF, to explain your team at this very moment?
I think I'd have to go with the shrugging shoulders emoji. It sort of summarizes exactly how the Islanders got here. I don't think it's really that explainable. You know, the Penguins were probably better than them on paper, beat them pretty handily at the end of that series after frustrating the Penguins' top guys. Pretty much the same blueprint with the Bruins. Bruins better on paper, probably had the better of the play at times in the series, and the Islanders were the ones that advanced and really dominated them at the end of it. And so now here we are, Islanders-Tampa. Lightning are definitely the better team on paper, but that doesn't really explain how the Islanders can succeed here. They managed to frustrate teams that look better than them and play better than them. They out-hit them, they outwork them, and when it's all over with, it's just hard to explain. And I think the shrugging shoulders also for the Islanders makes them feel like they know that they're underdogs and they don't really care. That's just how they get it done, and it's been successful so far.
Eric, what would you say for the Lightning and their emoji?
You're making me show my age here because my emoji game is very, very weak. Usually it's the sarcastic emoji that I send to my wife every now and then. So that's about the extent of my emoji knowledge. So you forced me to go into some research here. I'd have to say it's going to be the zipper lip emoji, because after hearing Boston's Bruce Cassidy call in the New York Saints and try and look for calls in game six against the referees, you will not hear John Cooper mention anything about the New York Saints. You are not going to hear John Cooper give the Nassau crowd any reason to start chants. And in fact, the only time you're going to hear John Cooper talk about the crowd at Nassau Coliseum is to let you know that he used to be part of that crowd when he used to sneak across the street from Hofstra University to get into nickel beer night at Nassau Coliseum. So you will not hear John Cooper give any material for the Islanders to use.
Round two, we're working on scheduling here, and everyone knows that the NHL adapted the schedule for this season. So this is the first time that these two teams will meet since last year's Stanley Cup semifinals. A couple quotes in the news. Josh Bailey from the Islanders said, "We feel like we have some unfinished business." And the Tampa Bay coach, John Cooper, said, "We know what to expect from them, and they know what to expect from us." So which team is the bigger beneficiary of this temporary divisional alignment? We'll start with you, Eric.
The Lightning were in the Central Division, and it was very top heavy between Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay. But what this division did for Tampa Bay was force them to play defense, because every single team in this division checked hard. And that includes the Detroit Red Wings, who finished with a pretty, you know, one of the worst records in the league once again, but they played hard. It's not exactly playoff style hockey, but it's close to playoff style hockey. And I think we've seen Tampa Bay, especially in the early parts of the season, get used to that, to understand what it was going to take when they get to the playoffs. So top heavy in terms of what the alignment looked like. But I think Tampa Bay benefited from the fact that they had to face those teams on a consistent basis because they check hard.
We'll go over to you, Arthur Staple. Who, in your opinion, is the bigger beneficiary of the divisional alignment?
I mean, I think it's got to be the Islanders just because it's pretty widely acknowledged that that East Division was probably the toughest in the regular season. You know, there were five, maybe six teams, if you include Philly, that were really vying for playoff spots. And the Islanders weren't assured of a playoff spot until about the last week of the season. They battled hard. These are teams that play hard. The Islanders play that playoff style pretty much all year long. And I think it helped them certainly in these first two rounds, not just just their ability to play that game, but the familiarity. And I don't think there's too much unfamiliar between these two. Barry Trotz and John Cooper are good friends. They talk a lot in the offseason. They all remember what happened last year in the bubble and in the conference finals. So I don't think there's any mystery here, and I think the Islanders maybe have the edge in terms of knowledge.
Round three, Kucherov's influence and that whole circumventing of the salary cap. So the New York Islander penalty kill unit versus the Tampa Bay power play unit, especially with Kucherov back. Which unit is better, Arthur Staple?
It's Tampa's power play. You know, the Islanders, even if Tampa had an average power play, this would be a problem coming into the series. The Islanders' penalty kill, which was lights out, I think it was fifth in the league in the regular season. Someone pulled the plug on these guys in the playoffs. You know, I think they're operating about 61% efficiency on the penalty kill. The Bruins had almost as many power play goals as 5-on-5 goals during their series. I think they had 7 power play goals and 8 at even strength. So it's going to be tough. And the Bruins obviously have some good high-end talent, but it's nowhere near what Tampa has in the power play and their ability to move the puck around the zone. The Islanders are really going to have to tighten up on the penalty kill. It's going to be a big key for them, especially kicking off these first couple games in Tampa. The Islanders are going to have to control themselves, stay out of the box, and stay in front of those shooting lanes with the Lightning's talented guys.
Erik Erlandsson, would you agree or disagree with him?
Look, it's absolutely Tampa-based power play. I mean, Nikita Kucherov coming back, you saw the instant impact in game one against Florida. He had 2 power play goals and set up the game-tying goal in the third period that allowed them to win that game. It's the first time that these 5 guys have been together since February of last year because Steven Stamkos missed the entire playoffs last year and Nikita Kucherov missed this entire season. But it looks like they didn't miss a beat. And when you're in that kind of a rhythm, despite basically a year absence from each other, you're a problem. The way that they can move the puck, Nikita Kucherov can shoot from the right, Steven Stamkos can shoot from the left, and you still have Victor Hedman. Oh, by the way, Braden Point's in the bumper spot and Alex Kalorn's net front presence. It's a huge advantage for Tampa Bay, and the Islanders are going to have to stay out of the box. They're going to have to beat the New York Saints.
Round 4, goaltending. I have short-term memory. In the playoffs this season, here are the save percentages for the goalies. Vasilevsky from Tampa Bay, .934. Tied with Sorokin from the Islanders, .934. And then Varlamov, the worst of the bunch, at .925. Oh, we'll start with the Lightning in this round. Erik, which team has the goaltending advantage?
Can I say the team with the Russian goaltender? Does that work? Look, any series that Tampa Bay goes into, they have the goaltending advantage. That's just where Andrei Vasilevsky is in his career. He's 26 years old. He's a 4-time Vezina Trophy finalist, 5-time Vezina Trophy finalist. It was a 4-time. I forget how many times he's been up for it, but he's been a Vezina finalist every year. He's been a starter for this team. He won a Stanley Cup last year. He's the only goaltender in NHL history to pitch a shutout in 3 consecutive series clinching games, as he has done. Anytime you can start talking about yourself as the only player to do something in NHL playoff history, you're going to have an advantage. I don't care who they were playing. It would be Andrei Vasilevsky's advantage in that, despite and no matter who the opponent is on the other side.
Would you agree with that, considering that the percentages for Sorokin and Vasilevsky are the same in this playoffs, Arthur?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Erik on that one. Vasilevsky's the best goalie in the world right now. You know, Ilya Sorokin did a nice job kind of saving the Islanders in the first round against Pittsburgh, but it's Semyon Varlamov's net right now, and he was really, you know, really sharp against the Bruins. Still gave up a fair amount of goals, especially to that top Bruins line. But Varlamov made the saves when he needed to. Like I said, this is the Islanders' way. They just make one more save and score one more goal than you. They don't care how it gets done. And that's going to be a big challenge against Vasilevsky. You know, I think they did score enough goals on him in the playoffs last year, and maybe that's something to hang their hat on. They haven't seen him this year, so maybe they're not as fazed by him and how, you know, how much of the top of the game he is. But he's the guy that they need to get through, and he's the best goalie in the series going in.
Arthur, I think you just gave us our next Islanders quote. You need to put the shirt with the Mandalorian on it. Said this is the Islanders' way.
Round 5, perceived weaknesses. We will start with the Islanders here. What is the most significant perceived weakness in this team, Arthur?
I think it's just the lack of high-end talent. You know, they've got Matthew Barzal, and he definitely came to play in the middle of that Bruins series. And really, you know, when they weren't scoring a lot of goals in games 3 and 4, he was their best player. And when he's their best player, things are going well for them. But, you know, they don't have the high-end talent. They don't have the Kucherovs. They don't have Hedman and Ryan McDonough, who can just eat up minutes on the back end. And I'm sure that they remember that was, you know, Victor Hedman was really the difference in that conference final last summer. You know, he was on the ice for, it seemed like, 45 minutes a night, scored some key goals. The Islanders don't really have those kind of game breakers. It's got to be a team effort. So if there's one or two, areas of weakness in their group, the whole group is going to be too weak. So they've got to be, it's got to be a full team effort for them.
Good point. Eric, what would you say the perceived weaknesses of this defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning team?
There's not many, but the biggest one is easily their depth on defense. They have the high-end guys, McDonough, Hedman, Eric Chernak. McDonough and Chernak have been just a fantastic pairing as a shutdown pair. Mikhail Sergachev has taken a big step this year. But if they lose any of those guys in any capacity for a game or two, it's going to seriously hurt this team, especially if it's on the right-hand side. After Chernak, you don't have a ton of depth on the right. David Savard was brought in to kind of shore that up on the right-hand side. He's been okay, but he hasn't been good and certainly not up to the first-round pick that they had to give up to get him. Jan Ruda is up there. After that, it's Luke Shen. And Luke Shen can provide some toughness, but he doesn't provide a lot of speed, and that can be a difference. So if they lose anybody on that back end, that's the area where the Islanders can take advantage of it.
Let's move on to round 6. We'll start with the Tampa Bay Lightning and Erik Erlandsson. For your team to win this series, which singular player will be the key to victory?
Well, it's too easy to say the goaltender. I think you can say that about any series, right? So we'll skip that part of it. It's Victor Hedman. He is a guy that can control the game at both ends of the ice, and he's not at 100%. You know, the reports are out there that he was injured back at the end of March when he slammed hard into the inboards in a game against Columbus. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet reported that he's going to need surgery at some point after the season. So we know he's not 100%, but if 85% of Victor Hedman is probably better than 100% of a lot of defensemen in this league. So if he can control the game the way that we know he can, the way that he did last year when he was the Conn Smythe winner in the playoffs, I think that he's the guy that's going to be the one who stirs the drink for them. If he's on his game, it's going to be tough for the Islanders to kind of break through that Lightning defense.
Arthur, for the Islanders to win this series, which singular player will be the key to victory, besides obviously the goaltenders? Or maybe you want to go with them.
No, that's okay. I don't want to make it so obvious. I'm going to go a little bit obscure. I'm going to say Scott Mayfield, who's had a really good postseason on D. You know, Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock are their shutdown top pair. They're going to see a lot of ice time. They're going to see a lot of the Kucherov line. They're going to see a lot of Hedman, and they're going to have to hold their own. But I think the Islanders showed in beating Pittsburgh and beating Boston that their second defensive pair, because both the Penguins and the Bruins have pretty deadly second lines, and obviously Tampa does too, that second defensive pair, Nick Leddy and especially Scott Mayfield, have to be physical, and they have to be able to clear the front of the net, and they have to be able to be efficient getting the puck out of their zone. It's not a very sexy pick, but Scott Mayfield is getting the job done. He's a big body back there, and he's been really good, playing his best hockey maybe of his career so far, and he's got to continue that so the Islanders have a chance.
Finally, round 7. This is a close match, by the way. Opening lines have the Lightning as a significant favorites to win the series. We will go with you, Arthur Staple of the Islanders. What is your series prediction?
I'm gonna tie it in a neat bow from the beginning and just go back to the shrugging shoulders emoji. Like, all we've been talking about is Tampa has the edge. They have the high-end players. They have the better power play. They have the better goalie. But this is how the Islanders get it done. And I'm going to say Islanders in 7. It's wild to think that the Islanders could win a game 7 in Tampa. It doesn't seem like the likely choice, but I've been betting against these guys for a long, long time, been covering them for a long, long time and underestimating them for a long, long time. And I think a lot of other people have too. This is a team that just is the toughest out, I think, in the league. They're the team that is the capital T team that does it the most in the league. And this is the time of year when these kind of upsets can happen. Like Eric said, if there's one or two breakdowns for a better Lightning team, the Islanders are definitely going to take advantage. And I just see them managing to squeeze this one out and get through to the finals.
Ooh, Islanders in 7. Eric, do you agree or disagree?
I disagree because having watched this team through all their playoff failures since 2015, 2014, something happened to this team when they got swept by Columbus. They have a mental resolve that they didn't have before. It was on display last year in the playoffs, granted in a bubble, a different situation. There was no travel involved, but they just understand now what it takes better than they ever have before. They are on a mission. They understand that the salary cap is going to catch up with them next year for sure. They have to make changes. And as John Cooper said, do you want to be a one and done or do you want to do something special? I think they have the understanding, just like we saw in game four against Carolina, if things don't go their way, they know how to get themselves out of it. And I think at the end of the day, that mental strength that this team now has that's been absent for so long will be there. And I think that the Lightning take this in 66 games.
So Lightning in six, you said?
Lightning in six.
That was the final bell here. I have the totals here. Let me just add them up really quickly. One. Oh, boy. Here we go again. Okay, so round one. I liked Eric. I didn't know that story about the nickel beer night. So round one went to you on that one. Round two went to you, Arthur, because I liked how you said that and I agree with you, the Islanders in this East division had the most difficult division in all of hockey this season. So I agree with you there. I could not pick a winner for round three. I had a draw for round three. So we're tied up through round three here, you guys. Round four, I had going to Arthur because I loved how you said that, that the Islanders maybe have scored enough on him last year. I like the quote, not as phased. I think a lot of times when teams go against Vasilevsky, it's like, oh, you know, he's the best ever. And maybe the Islanders and their blue collar maybe not might be as phased. So I like that. Round five, I had going to you, Eric. I like the point that you made that if the Islanders do lose any of these defensemen, that is a hole. So that's a pragmatic thing there. And I like that. Round six, I loved, Eric, how you said 85% of Hedman is better than 100% of other defenders. So for that round went directly to you. And then finally, round seven, Arthur, you tied it. You tied it up. I loved how you put the bow on it. And I also loved how you said the toughest out in the league. I'm a big baseball fan, so I agree with you. The Islanders are the toughest out in the league. So when you total them all up, we've got a 3-3 tie with round three being the draw. If that's not an indication of this series, I don't know what is.
It is. It's absolutely. I think this is going to be a close series. I mean, you go back to the conference final last year, basically everything was a one or two goal game once you throw out game number one, which we know was a competitive disadvantage for the Islanders having to fly the day before after playing a game seven. So, I think this is going to be a tough, hard-fought, close series. And I just think the game breakers on Tampa Bay side make a difference.
Arthur, final argument, final comments?
You know, It's a coin flip to me. You know, I like I said, Tampa's got the edge on paper. They've got the edge in a lot of key areas, but you can't underestimate the Islanders. Barry Trotz has these guys ready to run through a wall. They've done it a couple times already this playoffs. They did it plenty last playoffs. And I think Barry's message is always really on point with these guys. And I think they're prepared for the moment. And it may not be pretty, but I think they're going to be able to squeak through.
Well, we're prepared for an exciting series. Arthur Staple from The Athletic, New York City, and Eric Erlinson from LightningInsider.com. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight on Beatbox.
Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks, Danielle. Appreciate it.
I've made my decision. Now it's your turn. Head to Coach McCartan on Twitter. That's MCCARTAN to cast your vote to give out the listener's choice beatboxing belt. In doing so, please consider strength of argument, and also delivery.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode, and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.